Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
We got Brother Al Stone with us. He is familiar with this ministry. We have him preach here about every year, some point or another. And Brother Al is a pretty good preacher. He's preached pretty much all of my stuff. He's heard and probably some others as well. We had a wonderful Sunday school hour, and I do appreciate his ministry and what he's doing. And I know God's going to use him this morning. He told us he's going to do something about the smoke coming from Canada. You're going to handle that. We're going to hold you to it. Come on up.
Wow. It's sad, isn't it? The senility. Tim Rader said something nice about someone, number one, which never happens. Number two, he only preached 40 minutes this morning rather than the regular 60, just in the few things he set up here this morning. So that's good. So good to be back. Pastor, thank you so much. I love your pastor. I love teasing him because he teases you, and you never get a chance to fight back, do you? You get a chance? Okay. Well, my people never got a chance, all right? So I like to pick on him a little bit. I was coming up yesterday. He asked me, he said, when are you going to get in? I said, I'll be in late Saturday afternoon. I left about 6:30 in the morning. There's only one bridge open in Port Huron. They've shut down one of the bridges for construction. And so I left early to come across. I made some stops on the way up. And so he said, when are you going to get in? I said, I'll be in late afternoon. So I was coming up and he said, so what's your ETA? And I said, I'll be there about 4:30. And he says, well, I'm not home. He said, I'm out. And I said, okay. He goes, can you entertain yourself? And I said, well, I usually do. And I don't know what kind of entertainment he provides, but I don't think I want to see it. And he said, maybe you can just sit in the corner and stare at the walls or something. So then I get a note from him, 8:00. Hey, did you get in? I said, yeah, I got in around 5:30. He goes, okay. He goes, I'm going to bed. 8:00 at night. I said, okay. He goes, my back is really bad tonight. I said, really? I said, you're old. He wouldn't admit it. I don't know what you did in the night, but I'm sure it was something to do with getting up, trying to do something while trying to remain asleep at the same time. Yes. And you ran into something.
Yes, I did.
Yes, you did. Okay. It was his wife's fist. All right. So just to see you now. You know Debbie. I know Debbie. She's sick of him waking her up. Go to sleep. Oh, man. I had quite a scare. I was over at the missions house there, and I had to get some milk out of the fridge in the kitchen. So I went over, and I'm walking back, and I don't know why, but I have never really looked at the picture that's there in the little secretary spot there. There's a picture. There's three guys standing there, and I look, and I thought, who's that? And I went over, and I looked, and the first one is Tim Rader. I took a picture of it on my phone. It's down here. It's on my phone. I did not recognize you at all. He had this dark kind of black hair, had this full dark beard. He was about 100 pounds lighter, really good looking. I thought, wow, sad how a man ages, sad. I'll never be back. Thanks. Good to be here. And I hope you have a great week. Pray for this week. I am so excited. I just found out yesterday, I think this is going to be one of the largest senior camps that Camden has ever had. And I am just honored to be a part of it, thrilled. I'm looking at working with Brother Cromie again, which nobody ever is, but I am. And I love Brother Cromie. He's been a blessing to me. We've become good friends over the years. He's done a great job at that camp, he and his family. And many of you, there's too many to mention, but he takes charge of that, and has done a great job. And we've had some wonderful things happen over the years. I'm praying for a number to be saved and lives to be changed and just asking God to do something great. So if you can come out and be a part, you can't stay. We don't have any room for you, but you can come out and be a part of the services. And I encourage you to do it. It's good for those kids to see you come. And you've invested so much. You've invested your time and your finances and your prayers into that camp. Come out and see what God's doing. It'll bless your heart. And it's always exciting out at Camp Canaan Land, all right? Take your Bibles, if you would, turn to Genesis chapter 3. While you're turning there, I received a great gift this morning. I've become an honorary member of a new business started here in this area. It's called J. Bailey Duck Farms. And Josiah has started a duck egg business. Many of you know that. I'm getting paid to advertise for him this morning. I'm probably going to get a rotten egg, but look at that beautiful t-shirt there. Jay Bailey. So Ducks Unlimited. I don't know, something like that. If you don't buy his eggs, you're not getting good eggs. If you don't eat duck eggs, you're missing out on a lot of protein. So there's a great business in that. We should talk, Josiah. What's the name of those people? Filipinos. Filipinos. Do you know what they eat? They eat balut. Yes. How many of you know what balut is? Yeah. All right. So balut is a duck egg. They take it after the chick has formed in the egg. It's about 11 or 12 weeks old. They take the duck egg and they bury it. And they leave it for, I think it's 30 days. Then they take it out and they boil it. And they poke a hole in it and they drink the consomme. They drink the juice. Then they open the egg and they eat the chick. Head, beak, feathers, everything. And a good Filipino, when they're done, takes the feather and picks his teeth and gets all the stuff out when he's done. But they always cover their mouth like this. They're very polite people. Huge money in balut. So I'll be talking to him about that. We can make a fortune on Filipino people, and we got a lot of them in Canada. So get ready. We're going to be rich. No. So here's what we're doing about the fires. Every Canadian has gotten a hockey stick, and we're standing at the border, and we're waving as fast as we can. But unfortunately, most of the sticks got fire, so we're doing what we can. We're doing what we can, trying to help out. Oh, man. That's what you do with hockey sticks up there. Yeah, we don't use them on the ice anymore. They haven't worked for us for a while, so. Oh, stop. Hope your back goes out while I'm preaching. All right. I want to give you this message, the will of the wicked one. If you've been in church very long, you've heard preaching on God's will. You know there's God's will. God has a general will and a specific plan that God has for all Christians. Generally, to love, worship, serve, obey, and promote his plan of salvation. Specifically, to do either here or abroad, either under a leadership or as a leader, God wants you to promote his message of salvation. He wants you to let other people know what you've got. He wants you to tell people of the love of God through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who died on the cross to give us the hope of eternal life. But how much preaching have you heard on Satan's will? Satan's will. You know, he has a will too. You don't have to know much about the Bible to know that there is good and there is evil. God is good and Satan is evil. God promotes love and peace and contentment, and the devil promotes hatred and anxiety and hurt. And we're seeing that he's become very effective in that over these last few years. We've seen our nation's change in somewhat drastically. Because of the will of the wicked one, people are beginning to follow after his way. They're beginning to believe his lie. He has one, you know, he has a will, and it does involve you. I know what some of you are just thinking. Phew, I'm saved. The devil can't possess me. You're thinking, I hate the devil, and I do too, but I'm going to show you that does not deter the devil from influencing you to obey his will. You say, but preacher, I'm a Christian. That's right, and the devil can still influence you. He can't possess you, but he can sure influence you. And I'll tell you what he's great at today. He's great at distracting you. He distracts us with so much. A few years ago, we had kids growing up. Our kids are older now, and we had kids in our teenage years, and we had a four-wheeler, and we had a pool, and we had a trampoline. We had all these other things, you know, that people have when their kids are growing up. And we got to a place where we had so much stuff. And I told my wife, I said, I'm gonna start getting rid of some of that stuff. And I gave the pool away to somebody, and we sold the four-wheeler, and we got rid of some stuff. And I thought, man, it's nice not to have so much stuff. We actually had some time. Because when you have all those things, if you have a boat and a cottage and all that, you know what? It's just an opportunity to do more work. They never run right. They're never properly maintained. Something always happens, and you're always going and fixing and doing things. And that's what my life was anyways. And I was distracted. I was distracted from doing the things that I knew that God wanted me to do. And so I began to get rid of some things. But there are many of us today who have the clutter of life in our lives, and the devil uses that to distract us. Let's take a look at Satan's will today. Would you go to Genesis chapter 3 with me? We're going to read verses 1 to 5. Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 to 5. I want to commend your IT guys, your sound guys. Amazing how quick they can get that stuff up. I know they got programs that do that, but they do it all the way. Preacher says, hey, we're going to throw another song in. Had the song right there. Good job, guys. That doesn't happen in every church. I appreciate that. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1 says this. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Now, God didn't say you couldn't touch it, but she added that, as people often try to add to the word of God. But God did say, don't eat of that tree. Don't do it. She knew what God's word was. She understood clearly what God had said. She got the word from her husband. He made it clear to his wife, and she told that serpent exactly what God had said. Don't eat of that tree. Verse 4, and the serpent saith unto the woman, watch now, ye shall not surely die. Liar, liar. Liar, liar. The devil's the father of all lies. And let me tell you, I can tell you that the will of the wicked one has been imposed upon you. How many of you have ever told a lie? Raise your hand high in the air. Bunch of liars. We all lie. We all lie. Remember the day that your dad sat you down and said, now, son, daughter, this is how you tell a lie. When your mother asks if dad is busy, you say yes, even though I'm not. Remember when you taught your kids that? Remember, moms, when you said, now when daddy comes home and he asks if mommy's been busy all day, you tell him yes, even though I haven't been. That's a lie. Your parents don't teach you to lie. How do we learn to lie? How do we do that? Well, because the father of all lies, the wicked one, has had opportunity to influence every one of us in that and has told us that it's good to lie. It helps you to lie. It'll get you out of trouble, but we know the truth, don't we? And he lies this very first time to Adam and Eve, the first two created people. Verse 5, for God doth know that in the day that ye eat thereof, then your eyes will be open and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And isn't really that the devil's sore spot? He wanted to be God. He wanted to be ruler of the universe. He wanted to take God's place, but he could not because there's only one God. Amen. Verse 6, and the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise. And she took of the fruit thereof and did eat. And God gave and gave also unto her husband, watch now, with her. With her. He wasn't off somewhere else. He's right there. Hearing this whole thing, seeing this whole thing. Now watch. And he did eat. Adam, what are you doing? Adam, you told her. God said. And yet she takes and gives, and he eats as well. Verse 7, and the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. You'll see later on as you read that God covered them completely, not just with aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldst not eat? Isn't that a real parent-kid scenario? Your kids did wrong. Did you do that? Not me. And they're the only ones with chocolate all over their face, all right? Verse 11, he said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee, I should eat, eat. In verse 12, and the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree and I did eat. Again, here's a man thing. It's never our fault. Never our fault. We are the head. We are the man. We are the man. Couldn't be our fault. It's that dumb Google navigation system. I know where I'm going. All right. Blame the woman. Verse 13, the Lord God said unto the woman, what is it thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. It's not my fault either. Not my fault. Verse 14, the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity, I'll put a distance, I'll put a separation between thee and the woman and between thy seed and her seed, the Savior. It shall bruise thy head and thou shalt bruise his heel. I want to show you, first of all, that the will of the wicked one was that all would die. All would die. In his lie, in verse 3, Satan coerces Eve to take her own physical and eternal life of her and her husband. That's called murder. That's called murder. He coerced them, he tricked them, he persuaded them, he aided them in taking their own lives because they knew what God said. You eat of that tree and you will surely, what? Die. Here's how I know God's word is true. God said, you eat of that tree, you'll die, and it'll be passed from generation to generations. We know from the book of Romans that one man sinned and entered into the world, death by sin, so death passed upon all men. You know what? We all die. We're all going to die. As Pastor said, we're all going to die. There's going to come a time where that body's going to be stretched out and people are going to come. They're going to look and they're going to say, man, they look so natural. I hope not, because you don't look good when you're dead. All right? You just don't. But they're going to say that, oh, it looks so natural. I hope I don't look like that when I'm here now. But that's what's going to happen. And they're going to come by and somebody's going to say some nice words. And, oh, we loved him. He was great. He was a wonderful preacher. God led me to the Lord through him, his ministry, all those things. Say some nice things about you. But we're going to die. And we don't like to think about that. And you don't think about it when you're sitting on the front row and you're 10, 11, 12, 13. You don't think about those things. But then you start to get where life becomes that vapor. I just said to Pastor this morning, we were talking about getting older. He was telling the truth. For a change. And I'm standing in the mirror and I'm looking and I'm thinking, man, life really is a vapor. It's just here for a second and it's gone. And I'm looking and I see a 60-year-old man. And I think, man, I feel like 30 and I feel great. And if I never looked in a mirror, I'd be doing well. But I look in the mirror and I think, wow, there's a lot of gray hair coming in there. And somebody took a picture the other day. I was out in the sunlight and it really looked great. And I thought, wow, good thing I'm so good looking. But anyways, I'm getting older. My body aches when I work hard. And what I used to do all day now takes me all day to do. But we die. And we die because the serpent, Satan, in that serpent says, eat of that tree. And you'll be like, God, you'll know things you've never known. And they do. And God says, now you must die. He is the antithesis of whatever God is. God is love. Satan is hate. God is truth. Satan is a liar and the father of all lies. God is just and Satan is unjust. He then tells her a bold-faced lie, by the way. Where is Adam when he says this? He's right here in verse 6. He's with her. Why did the snake not talk directly to Adam? Why did Adam not crush the head of the snake then and there? I think Adam thought Eve would die and he'd be alone. In fact, that's why she was created, because God said it's not good for man to be alone. So he created a helpmeet for him. Men, aren't you glad that God created women to be a helpmeet for us? Say amen.
Amen.
You better say, if she's sitting next to you, you better say louder than that. I'll tell you that. I'm glad. Men are not good alone. Let me tell you that. When a lady dies before her husband, most men do not live a very long period after their wife when she passes away. There are some, but not many. We don't like to be alone. There's a program, I've seen it a couple times on TV. I'm not really promoting it, but it's called Alone. And they take people and they put them out in the wilderness and they have to try and spend 100 days in the wilderness by themselves. And they can tap out at any time. And a lot of them tap out because they can't find enough food to survive and they get hungry, they get weak, they become malnourished and they tap out. But many of them tap out because they just can't stand the loneliness. Most of the guys can't stand the loneliness. They start thinking about their families. And I've seen big, burly men crying. You know, I miss my wife and my kids, and I'm all alone. There's nobody to talk to. We don't like to be alone. And I think Adam thought, you know what? If I don't eat of that fruit, I'm going to be living alone. God created that helpmeet. He might not create another helpmeet. I can't get another helpmeet. It's just us. I think maybe that's why. I don't know. But he ate. Eve first falls into the trap of Satan's age-old trap. Would you go to 1 John with me. Let's go to the New Testament for a bit. Move around just a little bit. 1 John chapter 2. Look at verses 16 and 17. Now, if you're a creationist, you believe the world's around 6,000-7,000 years old, right? Right in that range. Not 12 billion. 1 John chapter 2, verse 16 says, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." So the will of the wicked one does not abide forever. They don't abide forever. They're put away. They don't have an eternal life. They have an eternal existence, but it's no life. Trust me. the life of punishment, sorrow. Adam, the head of that home of the world, also fell into the same three lusts, and the result is recorded in Romans 5:12. As I said, wherefore as one man, sin entered into the world through Adam, and death upon all because of that sin to Adam. Man, you are ultimately responsible for every decision of your home. And you may try to point the blame like Adam did, but you have been given the responsibility to choose wisely in the decisions you make for your home. Yes. Imagine a perfect father having children in a perfect environment, saw his children sin, break his heart, and have to suffer the effects of that sin. So when your kid messes up, don't be too hard on yourself. When your kid makes those choices that are maybe the wrong choices, you've taught them, you've given them, you've shown them, you've done all that you can, and they make those wrong choices. Listen, sometimes people just make bad choices. Sometimes as a grown man, I don't listen to my father. I should, because he's got great wisdom and instruction, but I try to make my own decision, and leaning on my own power, I almost always fail. You better go to the Heavenly Father for some advice. What should I do? What should I do? The first part of Satan's will was accomplished when men begin to die. And then we see, secondly, the will of the wicked one is that Christ would be defeated. In verse 15 of our text is God's promise of retribution to see the woman, the Savior. You're going to bruise his heel. But that Savior is going to crush your head. That Messiah is going to put you to death one day. He's going to do away with you. He's going to toss you into that lake of fire. He's going to start by this. You're going to put him on a cross. You're going to try crucifying him. You're going to allow that plan of God to succeed and go through. If Satan was smart, he would have stopped that, but he couldn't. It was God's will. It's God's plan for the ages. And Jesus dies on the cross, and I can almost hear the laugh of that wicked one. We've done it. We've done it. But 3 days later, 3 days later, up from the grave he arose. I can almost hear the cry of the devil. No, no. He's alive. Satan in that moment begins to enact the second part of his will, destroy Christ before Christ could destroy him. He began by burning the heart of Herod to find Jesus and destroy him as a child. Herod, unable to find him, orders the murder of every male child under the age of 2. Failed. Satan foolishly tries the same 3 temptations used to defeat Adam and Eve and the second Adam. Let's go to Matthew chapter 4, if you would, please. Let me show you quickly that. Matthew chapter 4. The lust of the eyes, the lust of flesh, and the pride of life. Eve goes and looks at the fruit. It's good to look upon. It's good to eat. Make one wise. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. And the devil, using the same trick he always uses, he never varies. He wins with it almost every time. Tries the same thing with Jesus. In chapter 4 and verse 11, it says, then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angel. I'm sorry, let me go back to verse 1. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Imagine that. How foolish. When he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterward was a hunger. Let me say this, the devil comes not when you're strong, but when you're weak. When the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. He uses scripture to defeat him. Then the devil taketh him up to the holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple. And saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee. And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou shalt dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus answered again in verse 7, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, saith unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, that thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. He comes the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life to Jesus. And Jesus overcomes him with God's holy word. If Jesus had done even one thing, the devil said, the devil would have ruled over God. But Jesus, using the most powerful weapon available to him and to us, declares the word of God. One last attempt comes when Jesus faces Calvary. Go to Matthew chapter 15, just a few pages over, in verse 34. At Calvary, this February I'll go, and for the 12th time I'll stand in that place where this took place. And I'll see and know what Jesus did for me. And in chapter 15, verse 34, it says this, and Jesus saith unto them, how many loaves have ye? And they said, 7, and a few little fish. And he commanded the multitude, that's not what I want. That's not what I want. I think I want Matthew 25, don't I? Let me try over there. Sorry. Do you hate when that happens? Here it is, chapter 27, verse 34. 27:34. They gave him vinegar to drink, mingled with gall, and when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. And they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. And sitting down, they watched him there. And they set up over his head his accusation written, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Then were there two thieves crucified, and one on the right, one on the other, on the left. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads, and saying, "Thou that destroys the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross." Verse 45. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land under the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani?" That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Some of them that stood there, when they heard that, said, "This man called for Elias." And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge filled with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. The rest said, let us see whether Elias will come to save." Mission's accomplished. He's died. In John chapter 20, verses 11 to 16, Mary comes and stands at the sepulcher weeping. It's all done. It's lost. He's gone. But an angel speaks to her, "Why weepest thou? Who seekest thou?" She says, "I've come to find the Savior." And he says, "He is not here. He is risen." Foiled again, Satan has one final part of his wicked will. And we see this last thing, the will of the wicked one is that Christians would be distracted. Knowing we cannot lose our salvation or possess that save, Satan turns his efforts on keeping Christians from serving Christ with the power available to them, wasting time and injuring testimony. Sadly, he has persuaded many of notable Bible character, Noah, Samson, Lot, David, Peter, to name just a few. For just a moment, they took their eyes off God's will, the Savior, the commission of Christ. And in that moment, Satan's will was done, keeping good men from God's will and God's way. And can I say that God, in his great ability and power, stayed those men. And I want you to know that the will of the devil today is to come and to distract you, as I've said. How many of us today are focused, really focused on the things of Christ? How many are really keeping our eyes on what God wants in our lives? How many of us are staying focused on that plan that God has for our lives, a purpose for each and every one of us? Let me ask you, are you in Satan's will? Are you lost? Are you distracted? Or to hear today and not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, that's the will of the wicked one. He wants to keep you in that place. He doesn't want you to know God. He doesn't want you to know the love of Christ. He wants you to be foiled with him and one day spend eternity in a place away from God and his love and his peace called hell. That's the will of the wicked one. Has the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life influenced you? Has God provided all that might be saved? He has provided all that want to know him. He's provided for them his might to overcome the distraction of the devil. 1 John chapter 4 and verses 1 to 4. It talks about the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God that dwells amongst us. The Spirit of God that indwells us. And today we have the will of God able to be performed in our lives because of the Holy Spirit of God that indwells us when we do get saved. Today, without that Holy Spirit, you do not have that help. You don't have that comfort that comes with him. You don't have that direction that comes by him. Today, I would urge you, I'd beg you to come and know Jesus Christ as your Savior and take that Holy Spirit of God into your possession so that you might know the will of God and defeat the will of the wicked one. I'll ask one last time. Are you in Satan's will? Are you in Satan's will? Lost? Distracted? Or saved? And focused. Which one are you?
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book, broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.